Michigan writer Donald Lystra is out with a collection of short stories. His new book is called Something That Feels Like Truth. Donald Lystra is an engineer who turned to writing later in life. His debut novel, Season of Water and Ice, won the Midwest Book Award and the Michigan Notable Book Award. Donald Lystra joins us now in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So this is a collection of 16 short stories. How long did it take you to write these?
They were written some time ago, actually. I wrote them between about 1998 and 2005. And I was still in the process, to some extent, of learning how to write fiction. And I had gotten to the point where I thought I could put together a complete story. And I was working with a group of writers over on the University of Michigan campus, you know, that was giving me feedback. And so I kind of practiced on short stories for several years before trying to write the novel Season of Water and Ice.
So almost writing with training wheels?
Sort of like that, yeah. Yeah, I noted, in fact, that Alice Munro, you spoke of, she said that she considered in the beginning writing short stories to be a practice for a novel that she was going to write someday, and she never got around to it. She just kept writing short stories. So I guess that's not an uncommon reaction of writers.
But it must be a completely different challenge to craft a good short story because the economy of everything has to be there. You can't indulge yourself like you could with a novel.
You're right. It has to be very efficient. You have to get it started very quickly, get on the table what the issue is and who the characters are. And then you have to move it forward with quite a bit of efficiency. So the language is very important, the word choice, the sentence structure. In some cases, it gets to be almost like writing poetry. I'm not a poet, but I imagine that, you know, the care that you take with selecting words and phrases is almost like a poet would do.
So many of the characters, really all of the characters in your short stories in Something That Feels Like Truth are characters who are, it strikes me as pushing their way up to some kind of a boundary, some kind of a sea change in their lives. And some cross it, and some of them step back. And I wondered how much of that mirrors your decision to cross over from your engineering career into that of a writer.
Well, that's a very interesting observation. I'd never really thought of that connection. I suppose it does. I like the situation of people dealing with boundaries in their life. Sometimes they're very personal boundaries. And then making that decision, as you say, to cross over or not cross over, to kind of risk the possibility of change and to weigh that against the possibility of regret of not doing something. I started writing pretty late in life, actually. I always loved language and literature, and I had the idea that I was going to try to write someday, but it wasn't until I was well into my 50s that I finally found a way that I could work it into my schedule.
And when you started to do that in earnest, did you have doubters who made that, you know, the people that said that old left brain, right brain thing? You're an engineer.
I think I had heard enough about the right brain, left brain that I maybe had some doubts of my own. Although I never really bought that model of the human brain, I guess, because, as I said, I always did love language. Yeah. I always did love literature. I wasn't, you know, a stereotypical engineer. And I thought that when I finally got around to doing it, I would have some small amount of success anyway, you know. So but I didn't have any doubters. My wife was very encouraging, and my friends were, and so in that respect, I had a good support network.
I'm speaking with Michigan writer Donald Lystra, who's out with his collection of short stories. It's called Something That Feels Like Truth. And you write in that introduction to your book that, here's your quote, "Insights drawn from stark reality are of limited value when it comes to the most important questions of life, that fundamental truth must derive from some blend of fact and imagination." What truths are you exploring in these stories?
Well, I'm not sure I can even tell you. It's a sense that I've had, and I think I'm quite sure other readers and writers have it, of kind of a sense of enlightenment or discovery that you have when you're reading a good piece of fiction or interacting really with any kind of art. You know, it's sort of a clarity of vision that you have, which gives you the impression that you're really seeing through to the core of something, something true and honest and fundamental. And that was the experience I had with reading.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became the experience I had as a writer, you know, these moments of discovery that are just so strong that you feel you've tapped into something quite important.
Kind of a creative aha moment.
Yeah, I guess that's a very good analogy.
One of my favorite stories in your collection, Don, is called Rain Check. And I think it spoke to me because I'm the mother of a about-to-turn 20-year-old girl. I wondered if you'd read us the opening passage.
Yeah, I'd be very happy to. As they walked back to the hotel through the rain-slick streets of San Francisco, Eddie Ridgway could tell that his daughter Angela was feeling better. The crying episode in the restaurant was forgotten, and she talked excitedly about visiting Alcatraz the next day. She had seen the movie with Burt Lancaster, she said, and it was an amazing place. Eddie played along. Crossing Union Square, he tried some funny gangster imitations, James Cagney and Peter Lorre, which made her laugh. In front of an open stairwell, Angela hunched her shoulders and pretended to spray bullets from a make-believe Tommy gun down into the darkness, making coo, coo, coo sounds deep down in her throat. All of this pleased Eddie very much. Back in their hotel room, Angela got ready for bed while Eddie sat reading a book. After a few minutes, she came over and sat on the edge of Eddie's chair. She put an arm around his shoulder. "So it's Alcatraz tomorrow, right?" "Right, kiddo." She leaned her head on his shoulder. "I'm sorry about what happened in the restaurant. Don't worry about it. I'm such a baby. It's perfectly normal." She hugged him. Eddie felt her warm breath on his neck. "Do you still think about Mom?" she asked him. "Of course." "What do you think about? Now, I mean." Eddie shifted in his chair. He considered the question. "I suppose it's the memory," he said. "The memory of who she was, the kind of person she was." They were silent for a moment. "That's sort of vague," Angela said. "You know what I mean." "Tell me what you like best about her," she asked brightly. Eddie thought for a moment. He wanted her to understand that it had been a good marriage. "Well," he said, "for one thing, I liked the way she looked, always dressed so nicely. And I liked that she was such a strong person. She knew exactly what she wanted and went right after it. No holding back." "She was like that, wasn't she?" "Yes." Eddie waited for the next question, but for the moment she seemed satisfied. After a while, he rose and got into bed. Eddie said, "Sleep tight and don't let the bed buffaloes bite," a tired line from when she was just a child. She smiled goofily and rolled her eyes and said, "I won't."
That's Don Leister reading from the opening passage of his short story, Rain Check, which is the first of the stories in the collection, Something That Feels Like Truth. Can you share with us the creative process of putting a short story together? Let's say Rain Check. Where did that germ of the idea begin?
That story, at least, began with a very clear image. I was in a restaurant, and I saw a father and his younger daughter, maybe a girl of 11 or 12, and the girl was visibly upset about something. She was crying a little bit, and I sort of took that image and began to imagine what sort of thing might be going on between the two of them that would cause that kind of a situation to arise. And then I let my imagination go, and I created these characters in a situation of a mother having died a few months earlier and the father trying to carry on with the daughter by himself.
Most of these stories are set in Michigan, some present day and some past Michigan. What kind of character does the state of Michigan, if you will, play in your writing?
I've lived myself almost all my life in Michigan, except for a few years when I was in California. And so I think I've probably internalized quite a lot about what it means to be a Michigander. And it is a distinctive state, I think, and a special state, you know, in terms of its history and in terms of the tension that there is between the industrialized part of the state and then the natural beauty of the other sections of the state. So there is, I think part of the Michigan character kind of overlaps those two areas. You know, we're very pragmatic and businesslike on the one hand, but we also have this attachment to to nature and to natural beauty.
I noted in your book you've got a number of comments or blurbs, as they call it, from other Michigan writers, Bonnie Jo Campbell, Keith Taylor. How supportive is Michigan's writing community when a newcomer enters their ranks?
Well, it's a wonderful community, actually, that I've gotten to know since I published my novel a few years ago. Michigan has a wonderful group of writers in every part of the state, really, the southeast and the southwest and the northern part. And there are groups and associations that bring those people together. And so you get to know them slowly over time. And it is amazing. The ones that have been doing it for a time and have had success with it are very happy, you know, to kind of reach back and help the newcomers. Bonnie Jo Campbell is certainly one of those. You know, she's had a good deal of success and deservedly so the last few years, but she's very generous with her time and is always on the lookout to help, you know, people that are newer to the field.
Writer Don Lystra, his collection of short stories is called Something That Feels Like Truth, and he was kind enough to join us in the studios. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.